KNOM Update News. I'm Lorelai Kinnean, and it's 9:02. Save Our Park, with a large sign right outside City Council chambers last night that said exactly that. A group of people expressed disapproval of the Nome Common Council's recent decision to place the new museum and library where the playground now sits at Anvil City Square. At last night's City Council meeting, Bridie Trainer told the council 144 people signed a petition to save the park. However, if the council reconsiders the location, they also consider losing another 1,000 square feet to the building. 1,000 square feet has already been lost due to the long process it's taken to decide where to place the building. 11 people addressed the council, voicing their strong opinion not to place the new museum and library where the playground now sits. One of those who addressed the council was former First Lady of Nome, Erna Rasmussen.
The park is utilized by everybody, adults as well. I see they're sitting there visiting. It's used by Kvark, it's used by the cancer drive, it's used by the whole community. And where would we go if we lose the park? There must be other places in this town that you can put the museum. So think it over. You're doing a big disservice to the kids as well as all of us.
And perhaps the individual with the most convicting testimony was that of 8th grader Henrik Brandt.
I like the park where it is. It's really fun. I've known it all my life. And I'd like it to keep it there. Save our park.
Well said.
Lloyd Perrigo, who was at City Council work sessions while the location was being discussed, also addressed the council last night.
I stepped off Old St. Joe's. It appears to be about 50 by 70, 3,500 square feet. We're talking about a museum that's a little over four times that large if it's one story, like footprint. If it's two story, Old St. Joe's is basically two story too, so it's only twice as large. I still think we have a little hard time seeing a building twice as large as Old St. Joe's parked right there.
Perrigo did say he can't imagine a better place for the museum and library than the land owned by Sitnasauk on Front Street.
It's been empty since the 80s when they moved the theater off there down to safety, and it's not a parking lot, it's dust. That's all it's been for all these years, and the state building's not going there, and Safeway doesn't seem to be going there. I don't think anybody's going there.
But the land comes with a price, and the price has not been publicly disclosed by Sitnasauk. If the council should reconsider the location and decide on the Sitnasauk plot, Nome taxpayers pay the price. Something very much on the mind of Councilman Stan Anderson and other council members.
That playground can be moved somewhere else, and maybe remove that yellow train and put it on a corner there or something. The building can be built to look like the old rectory, which in all your pictures of Old St. Joe's, the rectory was right next to it.
The council plans to discuss reconsidering the location for the Richard Foster building that will house the museum and library at the next meeting. Alaska State Troopers report two Nome residents were injured in a single vehicle rollover this past weekend. The incident occurred on the council road Saturday at about 1 o'clock in the morning. The 22-year-old driver and two passengers were injured in the accident. All three were treated and transported by the Nome Volunteer Fire Department. The 2010 GMC pickup was seriously damaged from the roll. Troopers are continuing to investigate the incident, but say alcohol may have been a factor. Another ballot proposition has made it to the signature gathering phase. APRN's Alexandra Gutierrez reports the initiative would raise the minimum wage to $9.75 an hour. It was certified by Lieutenant Governor Mead Treadwell yesterday. Right now, the state minimum wage is set at $7.75. The initiative would bump that up by a dollar in 2015 and then by another dollar the year after. It also would build in future increases by tying the minimum wage to Anchorage's Consumer Price Index. Ed Flanagan is one of three former labor commissioners spearheading the initiative. He describes the jump as modest and says you would need to make closer to $12 an hour to support a family in this state.
I know even $9.75 would be really impossible to live on in Alaska, but you've got to set the floor somewhere.
This isn't the first time that people have tried to raise the minimum wage through the initiative process. About a decade ago, a proposition that would have inflation-proofed the minimum wage was nearly on the ballot, but the legislature preempted that by passing a bill that did the same thing. But a year later, they rolled back that policy. Flanagan says that's one of the reasons they're trying to bring this legislation to a vote.
By going the initiative route, we don't have to be concerned about the legislature passing something and then undoing it a year later. They can't touch it for 2 years after the effective date. So if we are successful in getting it passed in August of 2014, we would get both $1 raises and the first CPI adjustment before they could basically go in and undo any part of it.
Flanagan says they're also trying to avoid something called a tip credit, which would give businesses like restaurants an exemption from paying the minimum wage to staff who earn tips. The sponsors have until January to collect more than 30,000 signatures to get on next year's primary ballot. In a typical summer during fire season, Galena is usually a busy place. While the Alaska Fire Service's Galena Zone office is still operating out of the community after the devastating spring flood, much of the active firefighting crews and aircraft usually stationed in Galena are stationed in other areas. In Nome, the BLM has stationed some smoke jumpers here, along with air attack and water scooping aircraft. The BLM's fire management officer for the Galena Zone, Tom St. Clair, says the flood this spring in Galena caused some infrastructure issues for the city of Galena.
And so in an effort to allow them to work on their infrastructure, we've been trying as hard as we can to keep our firefighting resources in places that are better equipped to take care of people this summer, and that'd be the reason that they're out in Nome.
The city's road to the dump still needs work, and there's extensive sewer and water issues. But the direct effect to the ability to fight fires, the company that usually sells avgas to the BLM for their airplanes is not yet able to sell it. St. Clair says the Galena Zone that services an area from the North Slope down to the Yukon will be relying on Nome, St. Mary's, Kotzebue, McGrath, Bettles, and a few other locations. He says once the city recovers, the BLM will go back to the Galena model. Currently, with the hot and dry weather in the state, St. Clair says he expects there to be anywhere from 1 to 6 aircraft in Nome on any given day. And last week, the crews were busy fighting fire east of Unalakleet. While there were 5 active fires near Unalakleet, one was threatening some structures up the North River.
And so 2 loads of smoke jumpers and multiple airplanes and helicopters were working the fire. Then we hired some hand crews out of Stebbins, and we brought a hotshot crew out of Palmer, Pioneer Peak Hotshots.
St. Clair says the crews were able to suppress the fire, but he says there are still some remote fires burning in the area. Those are not a threat to life or property, but Unalakleet residents may see some smoke. Yesterday, St. Clair says there were a total of 15 fires in the Galena Zone with a potential for new starts later this week. A look at the price of gold, down $5.10 an ounce to $1,278.50. An ounce of silver at $19.74, down 5 cents. Alaska Airlines Flight 151 landed in Nome at 8:52 and is expected to depart to Anchorage on time at 9:40. It's unofficially 63 degrees at the KNOM studios, coming up on 11 minutes after 9 o'clock.